This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We're going to do a little food economics now, a sector that is A, place where consumers are really price sensitive, but also B, a place where those prices can sometimes vary pretty widely. Today's case in point, wild mushrooms. Like anything else, prices for wild mushrooms are driven not just by taste, but also by supply and demand. So Brita Green reports now from New Hampshire on one attempt to get an edge in the wild mushroom market.
For Tad Montgomery, this whole endeavor starts with a story from his childhood in the Midwest. As he tells it, he was working out in the garden with his mom and siblings when a thunderstorm rolled in, and they all ran under nearby trees for shelter.
And my sister, Winifred, said, "Mom, what are these things? They're really weird."
Being an amateur naturalist, his mom piled the kids in the car, samples in hand, and drove them, soaking wet, to visit the town librarian.
And she looked at us and she stood up and she said, "Morels! You found morels!"
And so began Montgomery's lifelong pursuit of one of the most desired fungi. Picture a cone-shaped mushroom with a brain-like cap sitting low on the forest floor. It's not just that morels are delicious, says Dave Witchland, who runs a mushroom business in southern New Hampshire. He cultivates mushrooms, but also forages wild varieties. And he says morels are also particularly tough to find.
Because they kind of look like a wrinkled leaf. I've actually had times that I was looking for like hours for them. And like I was like, oh, I'm going to get skunked today. And like I sat down and there was one right beside me.
Here in the Northeast, the best farm-to-table restaurants will pay upwards of $20 per pound for morels. In places like New York City, Witchland says it's even higher, more like $30 per pound. That's more than oyster mushrooms, shiitakes, even hen of the woods, and sometimes chanterelles. And that's why people all over the world have been trying to figure out how to cultivate morels, essentially farm them like any other crop. It's something of a holy grail in mushrooming circles.
It's probably really been focused on the last 20 or 30 years. And it's really kind of getting some pressure now because people, you know, they see value in it.
He says morels are difficult to grow for a host of reasons. For one, they're really finicky, not just about temperature and moisture conditions, but also about the medium, the soil or plant material that they're grown on. Today, Montgomery's working in an orchard right on the Vermont-New Hampshire border.
I am now taking a pitchfork and fairly lightly just plunging it into the soil.
After making holes in the ground at the base of a tree, he reaches for a bucket with a liquid mixture containing morel spores. Those are the reproductive unit of the mushrooms. He scoops out cupfuls of the liquid and pours it over the holes he's made on the ground. Steve Wood looks on as Montgomery works. He's been operating the business here, an orchard and cidery, for decades.
Everybody who knows anything about mushrooms knows that morels grow in apple orchards.
As he points out, morels are known to favor certain trees, including apple trees. That's why Wood's letting Montgomery experiment on his land. Montgomery's idea is morels could become something of a second crop here. He's hoping the orchard could provide a critical fertile ground for cultivation. As an investment, this experiment isn't costing him much, mostly just his time. And as for Wood, the orchard owner, he sees more upside than downside as well.
What the hell? I mean, exactly how does this hurt me? You know, I mean, this is great. He's going to try to get something growing we like.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Montgomery flips through a little brown notebook, ticking off sites where he's spread his spore concoction.
12, 13, 14.
He's been trying this for several years now, each year tweaking his recipe and taking careful notes on climate conditions.
I haven't had any success yet. None.
This time, he's using spores from mushrooms that were actually found at other orchards rather than out in the woods. He's hoping that could do the trick. So now we wait until next year, Montgomery says, smiling. You never really know when they'll pop up. In Lebanon, New Hampshire, I'm Brita Green for Marketplace.